It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. June is National Adopt-A-Shelter Cat Month. A perfect time to talk about what makes felines such unique pets and how people can adopt. We also get a handle on their evolutionary history to understand what makes them tick. And, though it takes patience, train them to do anything from shake to high five. Do you have a question about something your cat does that you can't figure out? We've got a behaviorist here who might be able to help you out. Did you adopt a shelter cat? How has your relationship with that cat blossomed? Or maybe it hasn't. What do you love most about cats? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Heather Seidel is an animal behavior evaluator with the Wisconsin Humane Society. Heather, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, John.
It's National Adopt-A-Shelter Cat Month. For people considering getting a cat, why is adopting one from a shelter a good option?
Well, it's a great option since we know there's so many homeless pets that are looking for homes. And shelters have a large selection of many mixed breed cats, but we also have purebred cats in the shelters as well. And for example, if you adopt from the Wisconsin Humane Society, all of our cats are already spayed or neutered. They are microchipped, they've gone through a vet check, and they start out with their basic examination and shots. And if you adopt a cat that is 1 year and older, you get to name your own fee for the cat. So you can, you know, all the way up from $0 up to whatever you'd like to donate to the shelter. So it's a great option to find a home and add a new family member to your home.
There are certainly people who are staunchly non-cat people, but for those who are on the fence, tell us, what is it that makes cats such good pets?
Well, I think for one, I mean, there's nothing like having that little purring, you know, ball of fur on your lap. I find it very soothing, especially at the end of a tough day. They, you know, while they're not as necessarily as independent as a lot of people think, they are a little more independent than dogs. So I find it's a little easier if you don't want an animal always underfoot. They can, you know, they're pretty good at entertaining themselves for at least part of the day. And I think they just make great little companions. Again, you know, they can be very social. Like I said, there's a varying degree. Some cats are a little more independent, but some are quite social. So I think you know they're just a great addition to a home.
And there are what costs are associated with owning and caring for a cat?
Now, these can vary greatly depending on the age and specific needs of your cat, but we estimate the average cost of about $500 a year, and that would include your basic shots, basic veterinary care, food, toys, grooming supplies, and of course, if you adopt a cat shelter, you're going to save on having them spayed or neutered, which we highly recommend. So, you know, and then, you know, from there, you know, each, you know, the first year is probably the most expensive year getting set up with the cat, but about $500 for your general basic care is what you can anticipate.
A lot of people will just write off cats as being cold or aloof and that, well, they don't care about you. Some people would go so far as to say you can't own a cat. The cat owns you. How would you respond to that?
There might be a little bit of truth to that, but I do think there can be there is a mutually beneficial relationship that can occur between humans and people. A lot of people will ask, do cats sense our emotions? And I don't, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's some research on there out there on that, and a little bit of debate. So they can, we know they can recognize our facial gestures, like smiling or frowning, and they do tend to view our emotions more as, what does this facial structure mean for me? So, you know, so maybe their motivations aren't quite the same as, say, a dog. But when we're happy, cats, you know, are likely to associate that with things that feel good to them. Like when we're happy, we're more likely to interact with our cats or give them treats. So I think, you know, they you know, they're not necessarily as a loop. And again, there's a varying degree of cats who are independent versus more social. But a lot of that has to do with, you know, our response when we're around cats. You know, the more social, smiling, happy, welcoming we are, the more interactive a cat is going to be with us too.
Heather Seidel is with us. She's an animal behavior evaluator with the Wisconsin Humane Society. It's National Adopt a Shelter Cat Month, and we're talking about cats this morning on the morning show, wondering what you think. Are you a cat person? Did you adopt a shelter cat? How did that work out for you? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. The email is ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Maybe, what about training cats? Or have you found cats to be therapeutic? If you have, do you have a cat that's helped you get through a hard time? Do you know someone who's benefited from the company of a cat? Share your story with us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Heather, I want to rewind the clock a bit here. What do we know about the domestication of cats? When did they start becoming our pets? How did that happen?
The domestication started probably about, you know, 8,000 to 9,500 years ago. And that started more, you know, initially humans were predominantly hunters. And so dogs were very useful to us. So, you know, dogs were domesticated before cats. But when we began to settle down and people started doing, you know, started farming the land more, which also meant we were storing grain, when you start storing grains and other, you know, agriculture items, that can lead to mice and, you know, other rodents, and that then brought the cats, and that there created a great, you know, started to create a relationship between the cats and humans. You know, so the cats were attracted to the abundance of prey available in the storehouses, and of course people love the pest control. And then research suggests that the cats sort of domesticated themselves amongst humans. So it's like the cats invited themselves in, and then people favored, you know, we favored cats' docile traits. And then through that, certain cats adapted to the new environment, and then that led to producing the dozens of breeds of house cats we know today. So, you know, that's kind of what attracted cats to hanging around humans, was the mice. We like, you know, we thought they were very beneficial, and then, of course, we started, you know, forming our relationships based on the cats, you know, who are comfortable approaching humans.
Well, I think you might be able to make a case out of what you just said that maybe cats domesticated humans.
Yes, you could make a case for that. Yeah, you know, yeah, they certainly domesticated us towards them. Yeah.
I mean, a little bit later on, we're going to talk about training cats. And I have to admit that when this first came up in a meeting, when we were talking about this topic, I said, well, hang on a second. We can train cats? I thought it worked the other way around. a cat behaviorist wrote that dogs derive a sense of home and safety from their owner, while for cats, it's the physical place that they live. How true is that?
Well, it is true. You know, well, cats certainly form bonds with humans. You know, I know my cats are bonded to me. But they do not view their owners as their main provider of security and safety like dogs do. So cats, for them, a safe place is a private area where they can retreat and feel protected. So they're not going to maybe kind of, you know, hang on to us, lean up against us when they're feeling insecure. They would rather find, you know, retreat and find a place to hide. That helps them feel secure. And cats also like to be up high. When, you know, that gives them a great chance to observe their environment, especially when they feel frightened, and that way they can avoid surprises. So, well, maybe our dogs might look to us or kind of cling to us for security. A cat is more likely to want to hide or get up high so there's no surprises for them.
Our conversation with Heather Seidel continues in a moment. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's National Adopt a Shelter Cat Month, and we're talking about what makes felines such unique pets and how we can train them. Do you have a question about something your cat does? Have you found cats to be therapeutic? Do you have a cat that helped you get through a tough time? Share your story with us at 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Heather Seidel is an animal behavior evaluator with the Wisconsin Humane Society. And we have callers who want to talk about cats this morning. Dan in Drummond is one of them. Dan, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
I have a friend that's she's got a adopted a barn cat, and the darn thing taught itself how to open up the doors so he could go outside. And he would reach up to the handle and pull it down, and he'd reach up to the handle on the outside door. So she ended up having to put hooks on so he couldn't do that.
Wow. What a great story, Dan. Thanks for sharing that. Heather, cats, pretty smart animals.
Oh, they're very smart, yeah. And I had a little trouble hearing, but I believe you're saying that, yeah, the cat that figured out how to open up a door.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty common. Cats are very smart. In fact, they can learn from us, and they learn from us every day, whether we intend them to or not. So I've talked to many people whose cats have learned how to open up the doors just by watching us do that.
Wow. And no opposable thumbs. Can you imagine what would happen if they had that?
Yeah, we'd be in trouble.
Oh, big time. You know, just before the break, you were talking about cats and how they use their environment and how they experience it. I think that made me think, what's up with cats and boxes?
I think that's another one of those examples of having a smaller place where they can just kind of hide and retreat. You know, that they you know, that just is comforting to them. I think it's a comforting space to them.
Let's take another call. John is with us in Boaz. John, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Be careful. Little kittens will climb your draperies.
But I've seen that happen.
But we are humans, and we understand that. As a therapy cat, when my wife died from cancer, I was all alone, and a neighbor gave me a little kitten, and she was peach colored, like a tabby, orange tabby. And I raised her up from a little kit, and we got to be such good friends, you know, like man and cat, that we had a language where we could talk. Like I'd say, "Hi, Peachy," and she'd go, "Meow." And we had an understanding. Well, anyways, I said, "What am I going to do when I lose Peachy?" And I'd come to tears. Mm-hmm. But one day I lived in my hunting shack. It was 10 below zero out. I had no water, no electricity, no heat. And I climbed in two sleeping bags. I snuggled up and I put a wool army blanket on top. And I said, "I wonder where Peachy is." And 5 minutes later, I could feel her crawling. She found the hole in my sleeping bags, crawled in there, curled up on my tummy, and just slept.
Great story. John, thank you for sharing that with us. John, great experience there with a therapy cat who helped him overcome the loss of his wife. Heather, what about John's story? What kind of therapy do cats offer us?
Well, I think, again, it's just that sense of companionship. You know, and I always find, you know, I mean, I have cats and a dog at home, and I absolutely love my dog. But I do, there is just something, I think, special about when a cat chooses to curl up next to you or chooses to climb up on your lap and snuggle with you. You know, and I think a lot of it has to do, it's just that comforting little, you know, warm, furry body, that purring. I think that just offers a lot of comfort. And as we know, cats could probably do an okay job surviving without us. You know, they are natural born hunters, so they can hunt for their food. You know, again, as we were saying, they don't get a sense of security from people. So I think, to me, you know, it's just really special that these are, you know, little animals that choose to spend their lives with us. So I think that's special.
One thing that we just heard about is you know, kittens crawling the curtains. For those who might be a little leery about getting a cat as a pet because of some potential damage to drapes and furniture, is this something that people should be concerned about? And is this something you can train your cat not to do?
Oh, sure. I mean, you could pretty much train your cat to do or not to do many, many different things. But it is important to understand what a cat's natural tendencies are. And climbing and jumping is certainly natural traits that cats have. So it is a very common behavior when you have kittens to climb up curtains because they're good at climbing. So the best way, if you want to prevent that from happening, is provide them things they can climb in, such as a cat tower or a cat tree, because again, these are their natural inclinations. So we want to give them an alternative to our curtains, you know, such as a cat tree or a cat tower, which frankly would be a lot more satisfying for a cat to climb, because usually while they're climbing, again, they can do it, but they want to be up high. So if we provide something else for them, we can easily transition them from the curtains to that particular item instead.
How much more effort does it take to train a cat than, say, a dog?
I don't know that it necessarily takes more effort. The approach is different because cats aren't as motivated by praise, and they are less instinctively driven to work in partnership with humans like dogs are. But we can still, you know, work with them. And the most important thing is to make sure we're using positive reinforcement techniques, you know, so meaning when we want to a behavior to be repeated, we want to reward them with something that they actually like. And for cats, the easiest thing to use is food. You know, so you want, if you use some really high value food, and so you'll need to resign yourself that if you want to reinforce a behavior from a cat, you're going to want to use some high value food, maybe some diced chicken, turkey, low sodium tuna, something meat based that is very appealing to them. And then you want to be, you know, you want to be consistent with your training. You want to make sure you're clear. And if you're going, you know, you can train cats useful behaviors. For example, we can redirect them from climbing the curtains to climbing a piece of cat furniture, or we can teach them tricks too. You know, many cats can easily learn high five, sit, lie down. But the thing is again, you want to use that good reward, that's something that is rewarding to the cat, and be consistent with your training and keep your training sessions short. You don't want to go longer than about 10 or 15 minutes when you're teaching them something new.
Some people may have had a cat growing up or an interaction with a cat that wasn't so pleasant. Heather, can cats be, well, just bad? Or is there something else usually going on here when somebody has a bad experience?
I wouldn't want to say that cats can just be bad, but there certainly are many, you know, each cat is an individual, and they're going to have their own personalities or felinalities, if you will. So I think sometimes, you know, it can, and cats have long memories. So sometimes, you know, if a cat experienced something unpleasant younger in life, that can stick with them. And that might be something that can hinder a human and cat relationship, you know, or there could be something going on in the environment where the cat is feeling insecure or they're just not feeling comfortable and safe in their environment. And that can, you know, that can cause them to react in a not so friendly way. You know, so certainly, you know, I think, you know, and fear can be a big motivator for a cat not being friendly or not, you know, wanting to avoid people. And then the other thing is sometimes there can be something medically going on with the cat that makes them not the friendliest to be around. So those are things we'd want to check out. You know, is there something fearful, stressful, or medically going on with the cat?
For those who might be ready to get the wheels in motion to adopt a cat, what should they know? What sorts of research should they do?
Well, I recommend, you know, now we have the internet, so certainly, you know, get online, learn all you can about cats, read books, and start at home. You know, talk to, you know, if you have a family and you guys are thinking about adding a cat, it's important, I think, to talk to everyone in the family about what characteristics appeal to you about the cat, be they physical, but most importantly, what type of personality will best suit your home and your lifestyle. So start there at home, what everyone's expectations are for a cat, and then search the internet, read books on cats. And when you come to a shelter, there are adoption counselors who can help you, you know, can take that information and kind of guide you through which cats might be a good match for you and your family. And your lifestyle, too. That's important as well.
And where can people go if they want to learn more about how to adopt a cat from the Wisconsin Humane Society?
You can visit our website at www.wihumane.org. And once you're on our website, you can click on the Adopt tab at the top of the page. And for any of the listeners who are not located near one of our campuses, we also have a list of other shelters in the state of Wisconsin.
And people can find a link to that website at WPR.org. And once again, you mentioned this just about at the top of the show. What does it cost to adopt?
We've cost to adopt, so the fees range from $99 up to $199 for kittens that are under 1 year old. But cats 1 year and older, it's a name-your-own adoption fee.
All right. Find out more about this on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. Heather Seidel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Heather is an animal behavior evaluator with the Wisconsin Humane Society. Coming up, we learn why we need to offer culturally sensitive health care to Wisconsin's growing Amish population. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.